Arizona boasts of many women who have made history both here and on the national stage. It's easy to name the Sandra Day O'Connors and Rose Moffords, but what about those who are lesser known? Last year, we introduced you to five women who made a difference in their communities. This year, for Women's History Month, we're introducing you to more Arizona women who helped shape their communities and the state's history. Today, we're going to hear about Betty Fairfax. Her name might sound familiar since it's on a high school in the Phoenix Union High School District. She was a longtime educator, spending time both in the classroom and as a counselor. I recently sat down to talk about Betty Fairfax with Akwia Duku Anoche, who is, among other things, the Associate Director of ASU School of Humanities, Arts, and Cultural Studies. And I started our conversation by asking how she got to know Betty Fairfax.
I have been teaching at Arizona State University for 20 years now. When I first arrived in Arizona, I came from places that were very much, if not dominated, very much engaged with African Americans all of my life. Then I came to Arizona, and I found very little of that, at least initially. And so as an oral historian, and as a person who is just very inquisitive and had moved to a new space, I wanted to learn more about the African American presence. And Miss Betty Fairfax was one of the first people that I happened to meet, fortunately.
What was your first impression of her?
I was so impressed. I was wowed. First of all, she was a beautiful woman. But her spirit was just so loud and so outspoken and so ready to always take care of and help others. So I was immediately attracted to her.
When you talk about the desire to help others, I mean, that was kind of her career, right? She was in education. She was a school counselor. Mm-hmm. How did her upbringing prepare her for that kind of career?
Well, interestingly enough, and you probably know that Betty Fairfax is the sister to Jean Fairfax. They were the dynamic duo. And they got it from their parents. In fact, both their mother and their father graduated from University of Kansas at the turn of the 20th century.
Wow.
And so were very influential in their lives. And in particular, Miss Betty's mother reinforced with her how important it was to give back to those who didn't have everything that they themselves possessed.
What was Phoenix education like at the time that Betty Fairfax came here and started working here?
Mm-hmm. Miss Betty came here, I think, at the end of the 50s. Everything was very segregated. I've interviewed a number of other people who were natives of Arizona, particularly of Phoenix, and they always mentioned that they couldn't live past South Jefferson. She taught at Carver High School, and as a matter of fact, they had a tennis team, and she was the physical ed teacher, and she was also the coach for the tennis team. And she tells the story about one time that the team was going to another city in Arizona, and she was told that she shouldn't come because there was no place for her to stay. So the team, of course, decided they didn't want to go after that. But instead, she insisted that they do go, and in fact, they won. But that was just the beginning of her encouraging and supporting others, even if she couldn't be the beneficiary directly.
Did she talk about the challenges of being African-American and an African-American woman in this city doing the kind of job that she did at that time?
You know, Miss Betty really didn't focus a lot on her own personal hardships. What she focused on is what she could do for other people.
So as her career progressed, mm-hmm. the district that she worked for was integrated. Mm-hmm. She stayed on and became a school counselor. What was the reaction of white families mm-hmm. for their kids to have an African-American school counselor?
Mm-hmm. Well, initially, as I said, she was teaching at Dunbar, but she was recruited to become a counselor at Central High School. And at that time, there was big protest because most parents and even her fellow teachers didn't want her there didn't think that she had anything to offer their students. And there were a number of protests that she did report about. Fortunately, over the years, she won everyone over. In fact, she was the one who initiated home visits in Phoenix. And she would go to the homes, and her intent was to be there not just for the children, but also for the parents, and to get them to feel comfortable about the relationship that they needed to design with the schools. And so by the time Miss Betty was ready to retire, it really took her 2 or 3 years to retire because none of the teachers and none of the parents wanted her to retire. They begged her to stay on. And so literally she was either 92 or 93 before they finally said, okay, Miss Betty, you can go.
That's quite a reversal from not wanting her there to not wanting her not to be there.
Absolutely, absolutely. She was an incredible woman. I had an opportunity to work with her on a number of occasions. And so when I asked her whether I could do an oral history with her, she was very, very resistant. She says, no, I don't need anybody messing up my life or telling it the way it wasn't. But I promised her that I would use her words and I wouldn't misrepresent hers. But the only way that she agreed for me to do the interviews with her was I had to go dancing with her.
How was that?
Oh, man, it was incredible. Again, as I said, she must have been 92 or 93 at the time. She was walking with a cane. And very stately woman, but walking with a cane. We went to the rhythm room, and her favorite band was playing, and she insisted that I get up and dance with her. Well, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, dance with you? You can barely walk. And so she barely walked out to the dance floor, literally threw the cane to the side and just cut a rug. I could not believe it. It was one of the best times I can ever remember having. But she wouldn't interview with me until I promised to go dancing with her.
Okwuya Duku Anoche is Associate Director of the School of Humanities, Arts, and Cultural Studies at ASU.